Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick, and we have a special guest co-host this week. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, it's me, Elizabeth Seaman.
Lizzie Jizzy! She's always a good time.
Yeah, always with the Lizzie Jizzy.
Lizzie Jizzy.
You never left for California.
That's what I'm trying to make it. And this is our third season premiere, and we have one of my favorite people in the Cleveland comedy scene, Mr. Brian Sternick. Thank you for joining us.
The pleasure's all mine, Jess. I don't have a cool name for you, like Lizzie Jizzy or Jess.
Everyone. Just the mess.
Just the mess.
Yeah. Your default setting, what do we say, is youthful or young at heart?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and old at age. I love it. Old at hair. Like, I just gotta take my hat off. I don't even know
that. Just let it shine.
Like, youth at heart and age.
I really do think that I want to do a separate release. Like, I want to do the regular audio release of this, but I kind of want to do, like, a collection of, like, video snippets from, like, all the recordings, too, and do, like, a video podcast where we have, like, 10 minutes of you and 10 minutes of other guests and just, like, have people watch that shit because I think it would be fun.
Cool. I'm glad I didn't put on any makeup.
You know what? You actually look stunning right now.
Thanks.
You do, because that's why my boyfriend was laughing at me this morning. He's like, are you putting on makeup to do your podcast? And I was like, they're going to see my face. I can't not put on makeup.
I watched Jurassic Park and took a nap right before this.
That's awesome. That was,
yeah.
She's a Naposaurus. Yeah, Brian just took off his hat. My joke that I always like to make is that Brian is the hottest guy in Cleveland comedy until he takes his hat off. So
then he just spoils it.
It's possibly true. I'm not sure. I think that's too big of an ego for me to agree with that.
Yeah. So you mentioned a lot of people kind of think of you as like you have a lot of like youthful immaturity. Did you say?
Yeah, it's you know what you want to do, but you're like too like immature. Like I haven't like lived out bad experiences, but I think like also like I've never like I just got my car robbed today, so like
what, like someone broke into your car or your car was stolen?
It was broken into.
Did they break a window or something?
No. Okay, well this is where the immaturity, I guess, comes into play.
Okay.
I don't have that much money, and when I got my my car recently, I put the key in, and the front door doesn't unlock, so I had to leave one of the doors unlocked, and I usually leave the back left one, because, like, I don't think anyone's going to try to rob that one.
Yeah.
And then I was off, like, a really not good area, like, West 25th in Detroit, and I was with my girlfriend, and we could see a car kept moving at, like, 4 a.m., I was like, I think someone's going to rob my car. She goes, you're paranoid. Look, there's just a girl, like, she's sleeping over. You know, she's got a bunch of stuff in her hand. And I was like, oh, obviously, yeah, she's just an Uber. And then the car kept coming back, and I was like, my car definitely is getting robbed. She's like, don't think of it like that. And then I get in my car, and, like, everything's in there. Like, it's like a dog, like, when it's digging, and, like, the dirt's everywhere. And I was like, my car's definitely robbed right now. Like, they took a Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, no.
I'm not mad, though, as a present.
It's crazy that I don't even think that's immaturity. I mean, if anything, it sounds like you were being, like, sort of wise in that you were, like,
yeah.
And you could see it happening. That's the other thing.
Being, like, rightly cautious.
Yeah.
Like, immaturity.
Anxiety.
It's like you were, yeah. So, you know, she was, I guess, trying to be very optimistic, and you were trying to be very realistic.
Yeah.
I was saying,
being someone who's had their car stolen before. I do not have good luck with cars.
Wait.
Everyone. Well, but one time my car was stolen.
What?
I got it back.
That's good.
But they like slashed the backs of the seats for good measure, like just to be dicks. Yeah. Like on top of like, oh, you took my car and you had it for a while. And then they just slashed the seats because. But then I got hit sitting at a red light in that car and it got totaled. So good luck, bad luck.
That car must have been like made on an Indian burial ground or some shit. That did not sound...
That was the second time I'd been hit sitting at a red light in that car.
Holy shit, dude. Oh, Jesus. Was it just made of magnets? Like, was it just... Well,
and then less... Okay, so then after... So that car got totaled. And then I got another car, and I, like, looked up, like, for high safety rating. So it was, like, a 2007 Honda CR-V. And I had that car for, like, less than 2 months. I still have the temp tags on it. And I was driving in Lakewood, where I live, and I was supposed to meet my family at the movie theater. It was, like, around Christmas. And I was going one way, and then a Ford F-150, like, extended cab 2016 hit me, making an illegal left-hand turn. And my car, like, the front tire went all, like, crazy, like, bent in funky. And the airbags went off, and then that car got totaled. But I was okay. Yeah.
So see what happens when you get hit with cars. So, Brian, you're still very young, right?
I'm 24.
Yeah, so you're super young. Although, 24 is a fun age because I think about the time you start to hit 25, people start to take you, like, in general, more as, like, a serious adult and things like that. I don't know, do you ever struggle at all, like, with that youthful exuberance that people don't take you seriously?
Absolutely, that's been like my whole life.
Really?
So I don't. I'm hoping 25 changes.
Yeah.
But it was always like, there's Brian. Like it was like he's got potential, but it's like never gonna happen. It's just always the idea of potential. It's like a draft lottery pick, like for an NBA pick. Like you don't know if it's gonna be good or bad. You just know you got that pick.
Yeah.
Like potential. But, yeah, is it potential with comedy? Potential with careers? Both that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just been, like, everything. Well, comedy, it's been, like, less, because I feel like comedy's, like, the only thing where I feel like people have actually respected me.
Okay.
As, like, a person. Even though people, like, not everyone respects me, or, like, I don't know. I don't
I,
know
for them, one.
I feel it.
No, I
I hate you.
So I feel like now's feel the like time to tell you.
Don't respect me, but like, oh, come you.
Since we're on the phone and not face-to-face.
Yeah.
Now's the time to tell you. I have no respect for you or what you do.
I mean, you brought it up, so.
Hey, I'm used to it, sunshine, you know?
And I feel like, I mean, youthful exuberance is definitely a pro when it comes to doing comedy. So that is probably a huge asset for you. I don't know if you found that at all.
Yeah, I've realized it's like the person, like showing whatever personality and like charisma.
Yeah.
And like half written jokes.
You're like a happy little puppy who's just like always excited to be there.
Yeah,
yeah. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm happy to be a part of it.
The microphone's the dog treat every time.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's like, I'm gonna get up there.
That does explain why I always wanted to put it directly into my mouth whenever it was just like.
You know, when you're not doing good, it's like.
just start chewing into the mic and people.
Yeah, this is my plan B.
People either start laughing or they'll call the dog warden and be like, yeah. I think our comedian is rabid.
Yeah.
So I know like myself, like I'm older and more jaded, but I relate a lot to like kind of having like. I don't know, just kind of being nutty and fun. I mean, did you have a pretty good childhood? I mean, are you pretty, like, nostalgic for, like, childhood and things like that?
Yeah, because I like, you know, like, when you hit that that hard point, like, when you're in college, you hate, like, or, like, high school, and you hate everything. I look back, I was like, I had a really good childhood. Like, my parents loved me. They were together. The only bad part about my childhood was, like, once high school hit, it was, like, a reality check. It's like, oh, most people don't give shit.
Yes. Yes. I feel like
you stayed excited, like you were never down, but then everyone else got down. You're like, what's wrong, guys?
Yeah, I was like, what's wrong, guys? You guys want to like make fun of the teacher or something with
me? Yes.
Like, no.
Yes. Oh my god, I relate to that so hard. I feel like high school is one of the first forays into being like jaded and cynical because everyone thinks they're like fucking too cool and like don't want to be excited about shit. And that's the thing. Like I don't know, to this day, I have a little bit of disdain for people who shit on everything, because I just, I don't know, like, I like, you know, being upbeat about shit and whatever. I feel like you're like that in a lot of ways. I mean, like, is that get reflected in your humor at all? I know a lot of your jokes are kind of goofy. Some of them are dark, but I don't know if you sort of have a definition of sort of your brand yet.
Yeah, I don't really, I know it, like, anytime I feel something, like, there's, like, a past, there's a tiny idea that I, like, the only reason why I can perform it, keep performing it, is because, like, I keep that idea, like, in my head. You know that saying, like, to keep a joke funny, you gotta remember why it's funny.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't remember why it's funny, I just remember, like, why I don't like that idea, like, if it's, like, bad
in
my mind, like, just, I remember it, I'm like, okay, I just need to remember that, and then the joke will usually flow. Like, if I'm going to say it, how I say it, but that usually doesn't happen at open mics. It's like, oh, fuck, why am I here? Like, I want to be here, but now I'm like, yeah, this is a regret.
That's like, that's the one thing about open mics I have to remind myself is it's like the gym. Oh, also, there'll be cats walking behind me periodically.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, I saw Smeek's tail now.
I'm just going to push this down. Oh, here's my...
That's a big old suit of cat. And now it's me.
So, yeah, there's my boobs.
First
and
we went down Jess's shirt.
There's my boobs.
And then we saw...
And then there's a cat.
Here's, I know, right when it went down... Right when it went down to your shirt, you just see the cat's face, and it's just like, I've seen this before.
Yes, that was for the when I turned this into a video podcast, so we can get more listeners. That's what that was about. No, but like, that's the thing. I always have to remind myself at open mics that it's like, it's literally like the gym. Like, you're miserable the entire time. You wonder why you're doing it. You hate it the whole time, but then it's eventually like what ends up being like the thing where it's like, okay, I get it. That's, you know, it's what makes you better.
Yeah. I needed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good analogy, by the way.
Yeah, that was the one thing I remember people just telling me all the time, where open mics were like the gym, because, and like, I got it in like the abstract sense, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, it really is like the gym, because it's like, it makes you better. You just hate fucking doing it. You hate it the entire time. It makes you miserable.
Yeah, Brian hosted open mic night.
Oh, where at?
Duck Island.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's at Duck Island.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Monday night.
It's some nights are really awesome. Other nights, it's just like, it's complete shit show.
Really?
Like, I'm saying, like a couple times, it started off as a heckler mic. But then I start yelling at the audience, like, weekly. I'm like, shut the fuck up, that's my mic. And then they just stare at me, and I'd be like, well, now that I've brought that up, there's a lot of funny comedians we could talk about. God, you're a comedian. And they just wouldn't laugh. They were just like, you're mean. And I was like, you guys are not even an audience. You're just drunks. Like, it's cool.
So when did you start?
It's going well, though.
When did you start Duck Island?
I think I started that. I think it was, like, the end of the summer. I want to say. No, it was the end of spring.
It was before I left. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was the end of spring, and the only reason why I started doing it is because I knew the bartender. He knew a bunch of comedians, and he was like, hey, I want to have, like, an open mic over here.
Okay.
Like, I'll pay you in free booze. And I'm like, you got me a free booze. So I started doing it, like, every other week. And then in the summer, he ended up just quitting.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, do I want the free booze or do I not? And I was like, I want the free booze on Mondays. So I went,
yeah, but now you do it every Monday.
Yeah, now it's every...
He wants free booze every Monday.
I don't blame you. I want free booze every Monday.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I was like, I kind of want money, but then, like, they're like, here's a shot. I'm like, okay, never mind. I'm screwed now. Take the shot.
It was, like, not this last week. It was, like, the week before. It was, like, a shit show, but, like, in a good way. And Mary Santoro was there. And I remember, Jess, remember, because we had couch gags and someone donated, like, $10, but it was after she left because we gave our headliners the donations. And then I was like, oh shit, I gotta give Mary, like, I owe Mary $10 because someone donated it. And then I saw her there, and of course I didn't have any cash, and I'm like, god damn it, Mary, I'm so sorry, I don't have the cash. She's like, just buy me a drink and a shot, we're square. Yeah, so I did that, and then it ended up, like, so bad for me. Like, I shouldn't have also done a shot with her because those, like,
I know,
because
she has the joke about no one's ever been like, man, I'm so glad we did shots. Like, that, like, that's her joke.
That was so true.
Yeah.
But apparently, I had a really good drunk set.
You had a really good what?
Yeah, you did.
I did a good drunk set.
Oh, my God. I had a really good drunk set at Duck Island, actually. That's one of the best places to have drunk sets because like you were talking earlier about the audience. I think I've only done shows there twice. You do them. You said it's every Monday there.
Yeah.
At 11:00 p.m.
Yeah, and you'd think that it is. It's a weird hour to try. It's a weird day of the week, but that, it also gets some of the best crowds because it's just kind of like if you're out on a Monday getting drunk that late, like you're not there to be everyone shut up. I'm here to have a serious conversation. You know what I mean? Like no one's trying to do it. No one's trying to accomplish anything on a Monday night. So that's why, like, kind of tying this back, like what I love about that show is that a lot of open mics, as we said, are death and hell. But that one is just fun and goofy, and like I like it a lot. And I don't know if you find that to be the case every week or if it's just kind of sometimes. Or
it depends on my mood, because I love doing comedy, like even when I'm in a bad mood. But then I get there and I'm like, God, I'm gonna get free alcohol. And if I'm in a bad mood, then I'm just hosting. I'm like, you're next comedian. I'm like almost cross-eyed, but I'm not. Just taught, and they're like, wow, he's still energetic. I'm like, no, I think I've been too much to drink. Like, I think I need to drink. But I consider it like a good mic.
It is. I like it. It just doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, that's, like, that's I think, the key. I think
It's really chill.
Yeah, that's it. Like, because again, there's none of this, like, come on, guys, we're trying to put on a show. It's just like everyone's being goofy and yelling, and I love that about it. So,
yeah, that's a good point. I appreciate that. That's fun.
Yeah. So what else you got going on? You, what do you do for a living?
Okay, right now, hopefully I have a job. Ooh. When this comes out. Ooh. I haven't had a job in fucking 3 months. Mm. I was like, it's a good idea to just go through my savings, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my mind was like, absolutely. I was like, let's do it. Let's find myself again. And I found myself. I'm like, oh, I'm still the same person. This sucks.
I found myself, but like so much poorer.
Yeah, but I'm not doing anything right now. But I'm good. I need to get a job like really soon. So I'm just gonna get like the first job. Not a good idea. Just the first job I could think of. Like McDonald's. I need a new chef. I need to learn how to make some burgers. I got this. Like anything.
So did you actually quit to do like a self-discovery, or what happened?
Yeah. I used to work at a restaurant, a bar, and I started losing my mind. Like I when I started doing comedy, I was working at the bar. And every night, like, I was not sleeping because I was working, and then I'd get off work and then do comedy, and, you know, like, after a set, I can't sleep. And then that would just cycle and cycle, and I'd lose myself. And the only reason why I worked at the bar was because I wanted to eventually do comedy, and I wanted to support myself. Okay. And then once I started realizing, I'm like, I mean, I just need to find myself a little better. I was like, it hit the point, like, I had to choose in my mind. I was like, I either need to, like make no money and do something that like I find joy in, like an art sense, or just make money and like watch myself like become sadder with no reason. And I was like, I think I want to be a little happy. So I just bounced. I started getting like too adulty at the job, because I was always like less fun. I turned less fun, just more just like straight faced. And I had to like find my youth again, I feel like, and I did. So I feel good about it.
And you're like, nice. And I found it, and it's here, and now it's time to get back to let's find adult Brian again.
Yeah. I'm like,
you
I found
find you're in between.
Yeah.
I hope I can get the in between. I think I do. It's somewhere in there.
You definitely are that like classic age of trying to figure out how to still not hate everyone and hate life and become like a jaded person, you know what I mean? But still like focus on what's important. So have you started looking again at all, or is that just something that's kind of like on the forefront of what you're...
Yeah, I haven't looked, but my mom has. Okay. So I'm probably going to, like, she's like, you need a job. I'm like, I know. So every day on Facebook Messenger, I'm like, I hate this app so much. But I'm probably like, she tells me so much. Like, I didn't know I could be like a construction worker and like a part-time mailman at the same time. Mm-hmm. But she's like, you can, they have a deal for that.
They have a deal for that. There's like a 2-for-1 job, like coupon you can just cash in. Like, yes.
Yeah.
I just used to work with Brian's mom, right?
I did. Yeah. I used to work with Brian's mom, and that was always fun because Brian has some fun jokes about her, and it always makes me laugh.
It was nice to look her in the eyes after a night.
Right.
Brian was on.
Some fun jokes about fucking his mom. Yeah. I have to, like, no, it's funny. there was apparently a talent show at my former law firm the other day, and our own Spider Jones performed at it.
Oh, cool.
And apparently told a bunch of jokes that involved domestic violence.
Oh God!
And
Spider, no.
And Spider. I don't know. There was something about condoms, because then one of my former colleagues gave him a hat that says "I love condoms" on it. So
well, he's probably doing his like "I love condoms so much." I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. But what's really funny is then he texted me after and he's like, yeah, I think the managing partner hates me now, but the guy, but he's like, I think the guys whose names are on the side of the building thought it was funny. I'm like, well, that's all that really matters. that's the important part of that.
Like best case scenario.
Right. Exactly. Now, do you find like, cause it sounds like with the anecdote about your car, even though you have youthful exuberance, you're still realistic and you're still, you know what I mean? You have your head level. So that's good.
Yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. I mean, you're not like, oh, I'm sure they're totally not breaking into my car. You're like, no, I'm sure they're breaking into my car. So.
Yeah. I was like, this has been the same car 3 times. And there's a lot of people like outside at 5 a.m. right
so, now. So they took, you said a Bluetooth speaker. Did they take anything else?
To be honest, when I walked in, I don't even know, because when I walked in, I just saw everything scattered and I was like, whoops, something got taken. I don't know what it is right now.
Yeah.
I want to figure that out when I'm in a, like, when I'm not, when it's not like 3 p.m. on a Saturday. Like, I want to have fun. Like, on Monday morning, I'm going to be like, I need to see what's in my car. Saturday, I'm like, nothing happened. I mean, tomorrow's Sunday. Great tomorrow. It's cool.
I relate to that so hard. Like,
that's a problem for tomorrow, Brian.
Yeah.
Monday morning, you'd be like, goddamn Saturday, Brian.
Yeah.
They'll be like,
you can't even file a police report anymore. You don't have. You get like real serious.
Well, because if I filed a police report, they're like, you have expired tax. Like, oh shit, I probably shouldn't have called the cops.
That just sounds like a can of worms. Like, it's just like, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. And
yeah.
This is a bunch of bullshit. All right, so.
Go get your e-check, dude.
Get your e-check.
Go get your e-checks and get your tax.
I know. See, this is my immature part.
E-checks are free.
I have tickets I need to pay.
Oh, my God.
Wow, this just keeps getting worse and worse.
It keeps getting deeper.
This is where you're like, your wisdom now is slowly diminishing.
There's like a meter, and it's just kind of like Brian's wisdom meter, and every time you say something, it goes down just like a little bit more.
I got to keep my mouth shut, but I can't because I'm an open book.
By the time this airs, there's just going to, like, you're going to have a warrant, and we're going to be like...
Oh, no.
You're going to be on the run.
Tell us your address, dude.
Yeah. You're going to be on the run. You're going to be on the lam. We're going to be like, we don't know where Brian is now, but back when he was... Because then we'll get a call. We'll get a call and be like, no, oh, you were...
They can find him at Duck Island on Monday to get the...
Oh, God.
He's, like, living in his car, but he still shows up just to get the free piss.
He's living in his car, and then every once in a while, someone will, like, open that back door to, like, break in, and they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, man, and then just close the door because they'll see him sitting there.
I'm guarding my stuff!
Yeah. Just be like, ah! When he opens the door.
Get out of my house.
Yeah. Didn't invite you in here. Nice curtains for the window.
Oh, God. All right. So we're unpacking a lot here today. That's good. I mean, like, what are you thinking about as far as, like, I mean, you said you'd work at McDonald's. Like, you don't really have, like, a preference as far as what you want to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't work at McDonald's. I wouldn't want to do anything food related. I think I'd be best just like sitting in an office doing what, like just acting like I'm doing work, but really just writing jokes.
Like all of us, my plan. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's my.
Are you in a position? Like, is your mindset right now like, I want to do something that is productive enough to pay the bills, but ultimately isn't so time consuming that, you know, basically so that you can still make comedy a priority? Is that kind of the goal?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's the entire goal. That's been the goal for like 3 years, even though I haven't been doing comedy 3 years.
Cause the thing I will warn you, I feel like I'm like the ghost of Christmas future as being someone who's like considerably older. I moved out to California to get a job that allowed me to pay my rent, and it doesn't allow me to do anything else. So be careful. You are doing the right thing. Make sure you do what do something that, you know, pays your bills, but also doesn't take up all your time, because apparently that's mm-hmm. a thing. Didn't realize that was a thing, but it's a thing.
How's that rent over there, by the way? Is it a pain in the ass?
Oh, she looks so sad.
So
for the audio.
So
now I brought up something sad. I'm like, how's that?
No, it's not sad. So it's actually really funny. Literally just before I got on this call with you guys, my mom sent me like a meme on Facebook that was just like, it was an image of the Grinch, and it was supposed to be like how the Grinch stole Christmas, and the Grinch was like taken out, and like they just put the rent over it, so it was just like how the rent stole Christmas. And I was like, yes, that is exactly right. And then my cousin posted a gif,
handmade ornaments.
You guys are gonna get sock puppets is what you're gonna get.
Ew, don't give me a sock.
Sock puppet. Me. Yeah. We should just have like a sock puppet podcast where it's
the whole
be like Syphil and Ollie, where they're just like yelling. I made a reference that probably neither of you remember because you're like way younger.
No.
I never watched Siegfried and Roy, so I don't know.
Siegfried. You know what's really funny? Last night, I was trying to think of the name Siegfried and Roy, and I couldn't. And I'm like, who are those tiger guys? The one that got his face eaten. Like, who was that?
I love that we've gone from sock puppets to Siegfried and Roy so quickly. That was like the amount of time.
I, honest to God, was going to bed last night. I had a headache, and I'm sitting there like, so I've got no podcast on or anything because I'm like, just the noise is bad right now. And I'm like, who are those tiger guys?
I kind of you were having like an aneurysm where you were just like,
yeah, like, ow, this ow! Random thought.
What is this?
It wasn't like seek help. It was just like, who are those tiger guys? Those guys in Vegas. Some tiger in space.
It wasn't seek help. It was who were the random tiger guys. Oh my god.
I was literally laying there going like, who the hell?
Oh my god. No, what I was going to say, though, is my friend, so my mom posted the Grinch thing, and then my cousin posted a GIF. Do you guys remember the rent is too damn high party? Do you guys remember that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that guy. Well, so they actually made, like, so Prop 10 out here for Election Day for the, it was a big, instead of their issues, they call them props, and Proposition 10 was in favor of rent control, so that like your rent doesn't keep getting extremely high. And so like the tagline was the rent is too damn high. And what's crazy is that like everybody, like California is so crazy liberal, like ACLU and the Democratic Party, everybody supported this measure, and it failed by like a million. And the only thing I can think of is that there's a lot of fucking rich people here, and they don't want poors living in their neighborhood. So, so my cousin posted, you know, the rent is too damn high guy. And I was like, yeah, that was the tagline for Prop 10. But it failed miserably because all the rich people out here don't want poor people living in their neighborhoods. But I was like, but then all their mansions burned down last weekend. So karma, am I right?
Like, once you didn't hire like their own,
firefighters like Kanye and Kim did, which I did not realize is the thing. You can hire private firefighters to come like save your house.
There's, if you ever want to listen to it, there's a podcast called 99% Invisible, and they've got two episodes where they talk to this like science researcher about how the wildfires in California started getting so bad and how there's like steps they could take so that they wouldn't destroy houses. But basically they're just telling this guy to shut up because now it's like a big industry.
Wow. You shut up, guy.
That was really interesting. Yeah, they're like, take your science, cram it up your ass. This is not making anybody any money.
Your science is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was...
Fuck you and your voodoo books.
Well, and I hate to say it, but, like, there's, like, all this shit. Like, the wildfires up north are terrible. That's killed, like, 50 people and burned, like, hundreds of thousands of acres. But the fires here... Like, they killed like 3 people.
Oh my god.
And
what are you whining about?
Well, and the thing is, where it was is literally where like all the fucking rich people live, like Malibu. And so, like, you keep seeing these, like, Red Cross things, like, if you want to help. And I'm like, no, fuck them. Like, fuck them. They can help themselves.
I think Lady Gaga's got it. Yeah. And she doesn't need me.
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner's got it under control. Like, I don't think I need to be, like, if
like
I'm
at some point,
if I'm going to be donating blood or money or time. There have been a few that are, like, there's, like, animal rescue shelters and stuff. I'm like, yes, here, take all my money, like.
Yeah.
The rich animals can have all my money. That's fine. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
I have one question about those wildfires. I don't know how, like, I know wildfires are dangerous for your house, but, like, if I noticed the wild, like, oh, like, I looked at my window and be like, there's a wildfire. I'm like, guess I'm going back to bed. That's not going to hit me. Like, is that how people die during a wildfire? Or is it just, like, rapid fire on the trees and everything?
No. So, like, the nice part about wildfires, because last weekend we were actually a little worried. So the thing is, it was probably 25, 30 miles from us. We couldn't open our windows or doors because there was so much smoke outside. That's how bad they are.
You can't even open your doors when there's
You can't open like your outside doors. Like you can open your door to leave your house, but like we have the doors and windows open here because it's still like 70.
Yeah, they have like a patio.
It's still like 78 here. and so
this bitch.
We had to close all the windows and doors last weekend because like literally you walk outside you couldn't see. Like it was solid smoke. Here comes another cat.
Yeah. It's smoggy
And so it was and it wasn't even smog. It was just straight up like you couldn't breathe. It was the air was smoke. Yeah. And the thing I kept thinking was like, well, they give you like 2 days notice. So if we really did need to evacuate, then we would have plenty of time to like grab the cats and grab the cats and grab like our most valued possessions and then get the fuck out. So that I wasn't really worried about. You usually get pretty sufficient notice when you need to get out for a fire. What ends up killing people a lot of the time is they don't listen when they get told that they need to evacuate. Or they stick around thinking like, we'll try, you know, like,
or
we'll try.
They're like hosing off their house.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like they'll just think like, if I just keep spraying like water everywhere, like it won't burn my shit. Oh no, we lost Brian. Are you still there?
Oh, wait. I'm here.
Okay. It was just one of those things where, you know, if you don't listen or you think that you're, you know, God, you probably will die. But
well, because some of the things they were talking about, if you listen to that episode of 99% Invisible, the guy was saying that a lot of times around those houses that burn, there'll be a bunch of green trees around them because what is getting them isn't the actual flames coming in, it's the embers landing on like the roofs and whatnot that aren't adequate for fire prevention. So that's just one of like the really easy steps that people could take. Like if you regulated that, it would save like a ton of shit.
Yeah. And smoke inhalation is the other thing. Like people aren't actually burning to death. They're just like trying to endure all the smoke and like it takes very little to like asphyxiate from smoke inhalation, so
they can either choke on it or get sick and like from smoke.
Yeah, and like
I don't know one famous person that's dead from the wildfires, but I know like 53 like non-famous people. They're like, yep.
Yeah. I can't really speak to the ones up north. It's funny. I've gotten a couple texts from people. Like I don't think people understand how big California is. So like I've gotten a couple texts from people like, oh my god, I heard those fires are killing like, you know, 50 people and burning like hundreds of thousands of acres. And I'm like, but those are really far north. And like, but how far north though? I'm like, okay, well, and this is literally an accurate comparison. If the Upper Peninsula of Michigan was on fire and I texted you and said, oh my god, are you okay? I mean, that's how far away it is from us. And I can't speak to those. I know a lot of that is just straight up like wilderness up there. And they were saying too, like the irony is that we're putting fires out too well is a lot of the problem. Like back in the day when lightning would strike or whatever the hell would happen and like hundreds of thousands of acres of forest would burn, it's because like all those trees were dead and they needed to be burnt. Well, now there's people living in there and you have to put it out because people are living in there and it's not letting it burn.
Even it was like before people were living in there, I think it was like Theodore Roosevelt or something, they made an effort to like to start to give jobs to people. They started putting out what would have been just natural forest fires that clear all that dead brush away. Everyone was basically like, no, fire is so bad. And so now all that crap just keeps building up. Yeah. So when it does happen, it's really bad.
Yeah.
When if they would have just let it go naturally, it'd probably be cool now.
Yeah. You guys give me some like a Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I know.
Lesson.
Yeah, this turned into like Educate Brian on forest fires. Yeah.
You guys gonna have like cartoon characters like singing songs after this?
Sock puppets.
Yeah.
This was so much fun.
When you fire Smokey the Bear.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Fires.
So stop smoking all the pot in the woods.
The teenagers are all smoking pot in high school.
Yeah. And put out your doobies.
Because all that legal marijuana that they're out there getting.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, there we go. There's a new platform for people to hate on weed.
They're smoking the pot.
It's legal, and now everything's burning down because of the hellfire.
Four more years.
From the drugs. Drug fire.
I rant about this all the time, but people in California hate the fact that it's legalized because they didn't understand that that meant people can actually smoke it around them until it was legalized, and now it's like...
Because people were complaining in your apartment. Yeah. They're like, I remember when I came to visit you, because they would just put out like a memo to everybody like, you can't smoke weed here. It's like, except that it's legal and there's nothing that says like really.
Wait, I like the idea in a state that's legal, the neighbors are complaining.
That was what happened. That's exactly what happened.
In my house in Ohio, it's not legal, but the neighbors are like, we're cool with that. Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's like my hallway in my apartment always, it smells like dog or it smells like weed or it smells like weed and dog.
I'm saying dog
like,
weed.
There's no in between. Like, somebody needs to bathe their dog or someone's getting really high and then they're going to
You're going to go downstairs one of these days and there's just going to be dogs with like their little one hitters just like down there.
Yeah, it's like the dog poker thing, but they're just passing around a bowl.
Then there's
God
gonna be
damn it, I knew it!
The commercial's going to be instead of the human sinking in the couch, it's the dog sinking into its bed. And the human's like, you've been the same since you started smoking pot, Sparky. It's going to be like, raw. Like,
oh my God, I love it. I actually love the idea of a dog getting high. We got to figure out, can dogs get high? I feel like this is a Bill Nye question. Like, can dogs?
Ask any teenager with a dog that just smokes.
That's true. They actually do.
Don't think it.
At the dispensaries out here, they have CBD dog treats and stuff that you can give your like pets for like joint pain and all that kind of stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I actually prefer CBD over cannabis.
Yeah.
So same thing.
My brother doesn't smoke weed, but when he came out here, we stopped at a couple different places to get like CBD gummies and CBD water and all that kind of stuff because it helps a lot with anxiety and like pain, I guess. So
yeah,
Those gummies that we had were good.
Yeah, those were mostly CBD, but they did have THC in them, which is why, like, we went to a Mexican restaurant for, like, 4 hours, and I don't really remember most of it.
I think that was the first time I'd ever gotten high, and of course it was, like, in a place where it was legal, because that's how much fun I am. And
I mean, at least you did it.
We had these gummies, and I had, like, the first time I just had one of them, and it was just, like, that was, like, the perfect amount to just be, like, just really chill, like not high, just felt awesome. And then the second night I had two, and then Jess was like, we're gonna go to a Mexican restaurant, and I was like, cool, and I was fine. And then we got there and I started eating whatever the fuck I ordered, and I'm like, this cheese is the best cheese that ever cheesed.
We still talk about the Mexican pizza that we got there, and
oh my God,
what was it?
It was Mexican pizza, and I'm sure it was just a fucking normal Mexican pizza. There was nothing special about it.
We were all high. We're all like,
we still talk about it like, oh my God, that Mexican pizza.
Jesus, the Mexican pizza. Remember, because Adam wanted to order it, and because I was, you know, just like, whatever. And he's like, oh, I'll get like an appetizer. And then we were like, oh, best idea ever. Adam, you're so smart.
But you're absolutely right. Like, we have gotten yelled at more times about weed usage out here than we ever did in Ohio. And the irony is just, like,
it's insane.
It's so stupid. What you should do is you should move to either Colorado or here and work at a dispensary, because that definitely won't take up a lot of your time. And you can still do comedy. So.
Yeah. And then I could... Oh, no. Because if, let's say, I do work at a dispensary, they're like, he was going to sell, like, buy them and sell them. He's the middleman.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of vetting process they do for that, like, to make sure you're not the guy who, like, goes in and uses his employee discount to, like, buy all the weed and then...
Yeah.
But then you'd still probably end up selling them, like, at cost, so...
Yeah,
why would you just go in there legally?
I couldn't lie.
Because you'd have to make a profit.
If I bought something for like $16, they'd be like, how much is that? I'd be like, $16.50. Like, I would just make 50 cents. And I would even feel guilty at that. I'd be like, you know what? $16. I'm sorry, I lied. Here's your
You don't even like make your gas money back.
No, yeah. It would just be a waste. I would just be like doing favors for free at that point. Not be fun.
My favorite news I've heard since we moved out here is like, I don't know. Have you been to a dispensary before?
I've never been.
Okay. We took Liz to one. And it's basically, it's very like, there's a front room that you go into and you register and they get your ID and all that stuff. And then eventually, like, you sit and you wait when there's like a limit to how many people can actually go into the room where you buy the weed. So like you wait for people to leave and then you go back in there and there's like 5 security guards, but it's like, it's nice. It's sunny. It's not scary or anything like that. Yeah. But in the lobbies, you know, they have like, sample, like, they have, like, you know, they have, like, little sample things of, like, what they sell or whatever. But it's not actual weed, because, like, even when you go back into where all the actual weed is, there's, like, 5 security guards to make sure, like, you don't steal the shit. So my favorite story is that these kids, and, I mean, it's like Fort Knox trying to get into the actual dispensary part. These kids broke into a dispensary, but they broke into, like, just the lobby, because there's no way you could actually get into, like, the actual dispensary part. They broke into the lobby and stole all the oregano that was... Because they thought it was real, and it was just, like, their sample display stuff. And they got home with a bunch of oregano, which I thought was...
On the episode of The Office.
It sounds like you brought spaghetti cooking.
Yeah. Well, that was out of The Office when they try to frame Toby for having weed, and they're like, I think it's a Caprese salad. Yeah, look at it. It's a little piece of mozzarella.
Oh, God. All right, so we basically just talked about everything except for your default setting, which is fine.
Forest fires.
And forest Sigrid fires.
Freud, sock puppets.
Because we have so much fun on here.
Yeah, I mean, are you having fun? Is that the important? That's the important thing.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
Good.
A lot.
I'm glad that we got some good quality audio out of this, because last time, like I said, there was a lot of just like,
don't make fun of Brian. It's the way he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this worked out. Do you have any projects besides your Monday night open mics that you work on?
I am, hopefully by the time this comes out, I've been thinking of doing like a talk show at my house.
Oh my God.
I haven't told anybody because it's kind of equivalent, like Norm McDonald inspired me on that, because his is so good. But I was like, what if I just did that, like, in my house?
Yeah.
With a big table.
I love it.
And just like, yeah, it'd be like a podcast, I guess, too, but I'd like it to be on YouTube, like, uncut.
Yeah.
Like this, like, one camera angle.
Brian and I keep talking about, oh, sorry, you're gone.
And like a fake audience. Yeah, we do keep talking about podcasts.
Yeah.
Like fake audience, and then like at the end of it, like, I don't know, I'm just more, I want to work on that, but I just love the idea of like host and talk show.
Love that. That's so fucking original. I mean, like, no one's really doing like shows that are also you know what I mean? Because like a lot of people will do like live episodes of podcasts or whatever, but like I think a regular, even like a monthly show that you had as like a podcast with an audience and shit, I think is a really good idea.
Yeah, and in my house too, because I'm like, this is so weird, but also it's awesome. And maybe I can make money selling beer at my house.
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
You just gotta, you can't.
House shows are like the new thing. Yeah, right. House shows, I think, are like a fantastic idea. I mean, it's one of the things I love about doing Couch Gags. Every first and third Sunday of the month at Skidmark Garage at 7 p.m.
And tomorrow's show should be pretty good because it's at the end of the Cleveland Comedy Festival.
It should
be
pretty good because Brian Sternick is headlining tomorrow.
Bald head.
Brian and I keep talking about doing a podcast. Like, we talk about it every single time we see each other because we constantly are just, like, riffing on nothing.
Like this. We were just riffing.
Yeah.
All of us.
I love it.
And so we're like, oh, we're going to do a podcast.
Yeah. That's it. I think there should definitely be more podcasts. I just think there need to be, like, once a month podcasts because, like, yeah. You run out of material.
How about we do the talk show at your house? And then we both have to wear like suit jackets. Ooh. All the time.
Yeah. Do you want to be the band and just like play the triangle in the corner?
I don't say I play nothing. Ding. I could be like the Andy Richter
to your Conan
guy. Yeah.
If he played the triangle.
Yeah.
Tambourine.
And then
could we?
Yeah.
I'm like, do I even have it? I'm like, I got a keyboard that I can't
do like one note, like pounce. Like from Sesame, just,
like, yeah, I'll just do like the clap noise, like.
That's true. You can just like set up mannequins, and then you can just keep pressing the applause button and make it sound like there's like.
Yeah,
just, I'll like, just bring my computer and have like sound effects loaded up.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, just load the shit out of them, like DJ Ill Will, and you're like, what?
Every time I hear that, I think of Hannah. I'm just like,
oh yeah. So my co-host, I don't know if you've ever met Gigi Brian, but she's our normal podcast host. And the first couple times we did the like, bah, 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 she was like the hockey horn, and we were like, the what?
Every time I hear it, I'm like, hockey horn.
Was there like confidence the hockey? She's like, it's the hockey horn.
Didn't a hockey horn game recently? Or like, where did that
come? What kind of hockey games are you going to? Are there rap battles breaking out in the middle of the hockey?
Like, yo, I'm gonna score with
sick
this puck.
Like, they changed the rules in the NHL so you can't punch each other anymore. You just have to do like a rap battle, like to decide who is gonna get away
with it. The ref just turned into a DJ, like there's a spinner table and everything. It's like, let's get the shit started.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to power play.
The spinner table's on like four skates. Like the legs are on skates and he just pushes it around in front of
him. On the Zamboni, there's like a turntable. Like,
it's just the Zamboni's just vibrating just because it's like where all the music's coming from.
I love him. Deadpool when he kills the guy with the Zamboni. The stupidest thing.
Spoiler alert!
You're being killed by a Zamboni.
Everybody who hasn't seen Deadpool, go la 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 in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen it by now, you're isn't there silly, like, or you weren't old enough.
I feel like there's I forget what they call it, but there's like a rule now where it's like, I think it's like 2 weeks. Like, you get 2 weeks to see something, and then after that, like, you can't be mad if something gets spoiled is like the rule now.
I mean, it's not even like a big plot device or anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Wait, sorry, I just realized there's a vacuum behind me. And
I know that's not the whole time. I'm like, oh, Brian stores his vacuum behind the couch.
Yeah, there's like a
should
tiny
be part
couch
of the
vacuum
set
and a steel chair.
Wow. It's like
that's gonna be part of the set.
It's exactly like Conan, where he's got like the landscape of LA behind him. You have a vacuum and a steel chair behind you.
You set up like a card table. You sit in the steel chair. Your audience sits on the couch next to it, and the vacuum stays behind.
And the whole time they're just like, I'm uncomfortable. It's like, deal with it. Okay,
yeah, just it's fine.
You're gonna buy me a new couch, okay? That's what I thought.
The steel is poking me.
Ow! I think the one. Jagged.
I think this has rust. You better have had your tetanus shot.
Yeah, you have to make them sign. You can only be a guest if you've had your tetanus shot in the last 7 years.
Yeah, that's gonna be the title of the first show. The first guest definitely didn't have their tetanus shots. No steel chair. Give it up. And they're like, what?
You're walking away with hepatitis. Hey, burr, burr.
Oh my god, that's great. No, but I think house shows are absolutely a great idea because really low cost and it's convenient because then you can get super drunk and high and pass out in your own house and Yeah, I mean, the only downside is that you want to make sure you're, like you guys came to my house for that toast prattle that we did up on the roof. You just have to make sure that complete psychos aren't coming, because then they know where you live, which is a problem. Yeah. Especially when you already have people breaking into your car, so you don't need people breaking into your
house. I don't want to know where I live, and I'm not even a big deal, but I might be to homeless people to, like, remember that, like, old, because I have a Crown Vic, like an old cop car.
Ooh,
yeah.
So they're all just like, we're getting revenge on some old guy. It's like, nope, just a 24-year-old open mic comedian. That's all. That's it.
You should put a sign and be like, not a cop.
Yeah.
And put your picture with just you being like sad. Like,
yeah. You guys headshot, like, just advertise all my shows.
Yeah. Do you guys see the movie The Other Guys?
Yeah.
Do a bunch of shit in your car and leave a note. Love, Dirty Mike and the Boys.
Oh, yeah.
I think a raccoon gave birth back here.
Isn't that where homeless people just keep having orgies?
Yeah. Yeah, Dirty Mike and the Boys, they just keep, like, breaking into his car. Having orgies.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's what my friend said to me. My friend's parents said that to me when my car got stolen. They said we were going to find a note in it that said, Dirty Mike, love Dirty Mike and the Boys. Oh, come on.
Yeah, see, you should. You should just use, like, leave, like, dirty, like, or, like, just, like, open up a condom and, like, put some, like, fucking, like, Vaseline in there and just leave it, like, on the backseat of your car.
Watch out, Spider's gonna steal it. I'm just
gonna leave them everywhere, like,
condoms.
In the middle of the door.
Just everywhere, condoms.
Just leave one on the steering wheel all the time.
Or I'm just gonna start shitting in my car.
I'll show them! They take a shit in your
car. Oh, God, they're gonna hate this! I'm gonna love it!
Well, I feel like I'll come off as the asshole in that situation, too. Like, this motherfucker knows we're going to break in. He just shits everywhere. Fuck this guy, man.
No, I don't think they'll be that smart. They'll just be like, oh, shit, someone's already been here, clearly. And
I think it might have been Dirty Mike and or
Dirty
the Boys.
Mike.
Yeah, Dirty Mike
and
the
boys.
Boys.
All right, well, Brian Sternick, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This was so much
fun.
Thank
you, Jess. Thank you, Elizabeth.
So we can catch Brian Sternick's open mic, which is super fun, every Monday night at 10 p.m. at Duck Island Bar? 10-ish?
11-ish.
10, somewhere between there.
11:30.
It's so
sometime.
Chill, it don't even have a start time.
What you should do is you should go to Around the Corner Bar at 10 p.m., and then when that show is over at 11 p.m., you should immediately then go to Duck Island, because it is a super fun time, and no one's an asshole, which is a very rare thing for bars that don't have separate comedy rooms. Usually it's full of assholes that are mad because they can't be the loud, obnoxious ones in the room because we're all there.
I need to watch Monday Night Football.
And we got an amp.
And that's the other thing. At least 11 Monday Night Footballs should usually be over by that point. So you're not competing with anyone, and it's super fun, and it's super easy to get to, especially if you're in Ohio City or downtown or any of those places. Liz, do you have anything you want to promote for January, maybe? Kind of?
Couch Gags, which we already did. We could do again. what else is there? Stop pretending to be frozen. Right. You're not that good at being still. I see your thumb move.
No, I'll do this, and then, like, six cats will walk by in the background. God damn it!
I think your cover is blown.
Like, Chloe's face will just be, like, right up to the camera.
Yeah, she's looking for food and the keyboard.
Yes, Couch Gags. First and third Sundays. By the time this airs, I'm kind of talking about maybe only doing it once a month, because then, like, the quality, I think, will improve. But either way.
Plus, I don't know if we'll end up doing it the first in
it's,
January.
The January 6th is the first Sunday, which I'm not sure how people will. Ultimately, to SX1 Entertainment on Facebook. Brian, do you have any social media you would like to promote?
My Twitter, I think, is at the Brian Sternick.
The Brian Sternick. I enjoy your tweets. Yeah. You're very funny.
I enjoy your tweets too, Jess.
You guys make me think I should get to
Okay, so here's the thing. If you do it, just follow Brian and me.
I'm 100.
Don't follow anybody else, because it is actual hell. That website is actual hell.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, all it is making a Facebook status over and over again.
And but even more loud. Why? And even more, like, racist.
With less context.
Yeah, like, more racist, more, like, it just, everything is more. Everything is extra on Twitter.
It's like,
I also don't have Snap.
Yes, it's 4chan for everybody. That's such a great way to explain it. It's
like 4chan. I found out what 4chan was in college, and it was terrible.
So I also want to talk about, or I also want to promote, Couch Bags, at least one Sunday a month at Skidmark Garage, 7 p.m. Go to SX1 Entertainment to check it out. I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network. And there's probably some other people I want to thank, but mostly I do this on my own right now. Whereas before I had like 100 people helping me. So fuck all of you. Okay, love you. Bye. Oh.